Okay, what song are we starting with? It should be Waisaki no Holo. Is that, do you chant that?
My kids do, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, more chants. That's what we need in this world. I always thought with Akira Iwani, you could do Akira Iwani. No. So cold in the desert.
No, I don't like that one.
It's no Tikaru Tuma. That was one of your better ones.
Oh, yeah.
That was brilliant.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was, thank you for remembering the Barbara Streisand music video. Hey.
Well, whenever I try and say to my single friends, I do know a single guy, I always bring up your YouTube videos to show them.
Oh, and there's a big selling point.
Have I set you up on any dates?
No, because on those YouTube clips, I look like a giant child. Go out with this man, baby. Yes, hi, it's James McConey here, Man Baby, with Melody Robinson, former Black Fern and current Sky Sport bigwig, and Liam Napier, who's a Herald rugby writer. He's recently switched over from Fairfax, a huge signing, which ruffled a lot of feathers up there in the Herald mothership, but are you settling in okay? Do people talk to you?
Yeah, no, it's been good.
Oh, right, oh, okay. Oh, we'll check in a couple of months
yeah.
then. Look, Super Rugby, there is, this year the Crusaders did it again with a breakdancing coach. It's just such a, it's not quite a fairy tale story because they've won it before, but it's, they nailed it.
I mean, Liam will talk more about the style they played, but I am kind of infatuated with Scott Robertson because he's like that coach that will demand the attention of your non-rugby fans because he's not a typical coach. He speaks differently. He break dances. His hair is all over the joint. He surfs. He's just so cool. And it's obvious that he's a coach that can get players to love him, follow him, bleed for him, all of that stuff. Everything he touches, straw to gold.
Yeah, the Crusaders seem to, they never left the script, which is the interesting thing. They had this formula, and yeah, there were a couple of tight games, the old Mitch Hunt drop goal, but they sort of knew exactly what they were about with a first-year rookie coach.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, really, to have that sort of success straight off the bat. I think the big difference for the Crusaders this year, you know, they've always had that forward pack, All Black laden, but their back line, and I think Brad Moore, Leon McDonald, massive influence on that back line. Richie Mwangi, you know, still a very green rookie, you know, type player, but he was outstanding. David Havili at fullback, these sort of guys kicked on him and were in the All Blacks by the end of the year. And if you think, if you take a step back and look at what they did previously, it was, you know, Nemani Ndolo, throw the ball to him and just sort of hope he could bowl over a few people, kick to the corner, you know, Manu Vatavai league styles and hope he scores. So that was a big shift for me. And to go over to South Africa a week after the Hurricanes hit the wall and fell to pieces there at altitude, you know, I know the red card had a big influence, but they're still hanging on for grim life and tactically they were very smart and they were thoroughly deserved their title.
And it's a funny old thing with Richie Mwanga. It's probably because he's come after some great number 10s, your Mertz and your DCs. But he didn't tend to get a lot of press in previous seasons. But if you actually analyse and watch his game properly, the when he decides to hit the line and attack is like perfect timing. His kicking game's strong. His team trusts him, so he runs all the moves really confidently. He was awesome. And then Sam Whitelock. I mean, the guy was already a bloody good lock, and then he turned into this absolute incredible player this year. Leadership, all of that, his decisions at lineouts when he calls those. He did everything right. He was amazing.
And then among all those All Blacks, you've got guys like Jordan Talfour, who just seems like the life and soul of that team.
Yeah, I guess him and Brad Shields are similar players, aren't they? You know, guys that potentially may never make the All Blacks, but they are phenomenal players in their own right. Guys that are out-and-out blindside flankers who do that role superbly, who hit hard, carry well, line-out options, and, you know, don't get the press that others do around them. You know, it's incredibly difficult if they were in any other country, well, not necessarily any other, but a number of other major test-playing nations, they would have played 20, 30 tests by now. But When you've got, you know, Jerome Kino, Liam Squire, Viafa-Fita, it's just so tough to crack that national team.
I'm a huge Richie Mwanga fan. Love the way he plays. Just
you probably love everything about him.
Yeah, I do, because he reminds me of my favourite player from childhood, Steve Porchetti. You know, so good on his feet. And, of course, I know people might remember Porchetti as a centre, but he played first five for a long time with Wellington and, you know, similar sort of stature. He wasn't a big guy, but he just had all the moves, you know, and he was just so silky to watch. And I appreciate that. Even though I do like a good chunky first five, if there was one out there, like an Olsen Filipina, if there was someone in rugby union who did that. But I think the days of chunky first fives may be gone.
Well, even Garden Bashup has dropped a bit of chunk, hasn't he? He talks about his chunk quite a bit, that he's got to get rid of it. His mum was a Black Fern and New Zealand touch player, and she was a professional basketballer, Sue. And it's the second son that's got her physique, because she was super quick. She was on the wing.
Yep.
But he's definitely got dad's bum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Impressive glutes.
Richie is a, not sure which way around, but a Tongan parent and a Samoan parent.
Oh.
So quite a nice blend there. And he actually ended up supporting. He was on the fence when Tonga played Samoa in the Rugby League World Cup.
Wait, really?
And then he came back when Tonga won. He got straight on the bandwagon.
Yes.
And actually came back from the India tour and went to the quarterfinal in Christchurch to support them. So he was loving their eyes.
I mean, and that is even rarer, a Tongan Samoan guy that plays first five in Christchurch.
<That's>
oh
right.
My God.
That's right. It's, he's broken the mould there.
He has.
Look, and I tell you what, the one thing I do admire about, I guess, the Crusaders is that Razor, Scott Robertson, he just goes into it, I guess, holistically. He looks at everything, and he based their whole team on the famous Muhammad Ali poem, the shortest poem in history, Me, We.
Cool.
Not to be confused with The Key is the We, which is David Kidwell's ill-fated Rugby League World Cup campaign. So Me, We is all about, hey, it's about me, it's about you guys, it's about us. And so they divided that whole thing. Get yourself right. Make sure you're doing your ice baths and your rehab and all this sort of stuff and your warm downs. And then get everything outside right, you know, the family, make sure you're cooking, you know, nutrition, all that sort of stuff. But make sure everything's good at home as well. And I do quite like that. I think he knows as a player and as a coach, I guess, with at NPC level, just how that makes a big difference.
Yeah,
having people turn up happy.
All the successful teams go down that formula, so it's a winner.
It is a winner.
About the My Food Bag.
Is it? Oh, right. We're doing a plug now, are we?
I order that.
They all promote them, don't
they? They do. Yeah. They're always on social media, Instagram, pushing some kind of nutrition thing, and whoever's flicking them a few beetroot, they're giving them like this massive promotion.
I think I'd like to live with Israel Dagg, because his wife Daisy looks like an incredible cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be actually, I mean, that's the thing. You don't really want to stereotype it that way, but yes.
Well, because, and she's not like one of those wags that doesn't eat, so that's really important as well.
That's right, yeah. She's having nutrition all the time. And I think she was behind, or was definitely involved in Steve Hansen's Don't Lose Your Biscuit ad. Because she was included in it. She
really?
Was in. Yeah, because there's some line about Daisy and the girls are out in Waiheke and yes, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then I remember looking at it going, why are the wags in this weird illustrated, what do you call it?
It was very strange, wasn't it? And I loved it how they used a body double to run up the stairs, because it was so obviously a body double.
I was disappointed. I wanted to have a chat to Steve. I saw him at the Rugby Awards, and we always talk about weight because we're both heavy set men. And and I was going to ask him about getting his leg over that motorbike, because it didn't look easy. And I think when you're struggling to get your leg over a motorbike, that is when you have to go, okay.
I'm glad you put motorbike in there, because
it
could have gone anywhere.
Well, we had a chance to, my husband and I had a quick chat to him about that ad. And he said he did all of his own stunts, including jumping in the water.
Oh, really?
Yes, apart from the running up the stairs.
And he's proud of that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess the one thing is that biscuits are the last thing that you really want. As a man, men our size, I've had to cut biscuits out of my life. And what the hell's he doing in 2017? I thought we'd come a long way. We've just been talking about superfoods and My Food Bag. And he's out there pushing Arnott's.
He's probably got a lifetime supply after
that. I'd say so, and a big check.
Yeah, the check is the key.
That's why.
That's why, yeah. That's the hopefully no free Tim Tams. I know it's like I'm in a glass house throwing stones, but I'm trying to help here. I want to go straight to, if you don't mind, the Mitre 10 Cup, because we've talked about that winning Super Rugby franchise. Do we need to go over? Oh, actually, no, we'll just briefly, let's have a look at maybe where they've gone and where they're going to. Blues.
Oh, yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Well, I guess they're trying to make some changes. They've made Augustine Paulu captain. I think Otere Black, yeah, which was an interesting choice.
Mel shaking your head. I can see this. Like,
He's a guy that is inspirational in sort of what he does, you know, but he doesn't really fit the mold of the modern halfback to a point that he runs a lot and he loves to defend, and you want your halfback generally to be sitting in behind the ruck directing your defence. And there, I guess, you know, there were a lot of options in that team. So, surprising.
Mel, the Blues.
Every year my kids are born in Auckland. Yeah. They support the Blues. We go to the bloody games. And then it all goes to the crap every time.
Yeah.
So how do I motivate myself? I love Tana Umanga. I think he's fabulous. But how do I motivate myself to have faith in the side? Do you know what? They're one of the best teams to go down to interview. I don't know if you think this, because they're all generally good people. And so they've got a lot of the off-the-field stuff quite better anyway, apart from old Tupulutu and a couple of those ones that weren't quite that good this year. But, you know, they've got that stuff right. So it always breaks my heart that my kids end up disappointed again. And they will get disappointed again because they don't have the first five.
Yeah, I do like Stephen Perifetta in a big way. Another guy that's in the Moanga mould, great on his feet.
Yeah.
Very silky. But it's just too big a ask to expect a guy to come in having played, you know, I know he played the Lions and he played one or two other games. But it's too big a ask to expect him just to come in and run that team. I know you've got Sonny Bill outside him and Augustine inside him, but it's not going to happen. Like, you know, you've lost Otere Black probably for the year. You've got Bryn Gatland, so you don't have an established first five, and that's criminal.
The one thing I notice is that in the draft, you're always looking at the team and seeing, it's not a draft, I mean, when they announce the squad and seeing if your team or who else has won that battle, and I still feel like the Blues didn't quite. They've got their stars, their established stars. They must take up a lot of their salary cap, I guess, and then everyone else feels like support players.
They've still got that issue where their players don't spend enough time with each other. They go back to their families. It's just a tough city, Auckland, to have a team that's a real close-knit unit like the Chiefs, the Crusaders, all of them.
They also haven't changed the perception yet where people quality players want to come. You know, they haven't made the finals for Yonks and they haven't broken that mold where, you know, the attractive players want to come. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you can't just grow a team, you have to recruit. And, it's a big year for Tana too. It's his final year of his contract. I think they'll keep the faith in him. I can't see them getting rid of him because that hasn't worked for them. And, I think the pressure will be on him to make the finals, and if he can do that, then they'll keep him.
What's happening with Carlos Spencer?
He's playing the tens, so, another, you know, stunt, really.
Speaking of biscuit ads.
Yes, I remember that one.
The Toffee Pop man. He actually, in terms of Toffee Pop, he took that off Chris Donaldson, the sprinter, but they went with Carlos, so he sort of cut his lunch.
Wow.
It was. And so he became the Toffee Pop guy, and I mean I get it. He keeps himself in amazing shape. He's from Hotafanua, and obviously you guys.
He is. Spent a bit of time in South Africa, and potentially had some assistance in building that frame. Maybe.
I know. And, you know, he's a hush. He's a hush baby.
Is he?
Hush.
Oh right, he's a hush baby. That's what you say.
Just don't talk to me.
Yeah.
But I'll look at you.
He's always been about
like don't blush, baby, or hush.
Hush, hush. You gotta, you know, the really good looking guys that haven't got game or can't chat.
No chat.
You know that Donaldson?
Yeah.
So he was boys high at Christchurch, and I used to go and hide behind the fence just to watch him train because he was that good looking.
Oh, Chris Donaldson, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, exactly. His that son of Roger Donaldson, the movie director, and yeah, he was ridiculously ripped and good looking and all of the above, really.
Mm. Him and Scott Curry on Mel's Wall.
Still, to this day, they're still on Mel's Wall. She's married but still has the
I'm not the only female broadcaster to have put famous sports people on their wall.
Okay, are you going to tell us?
No.
Okay. We will, right, we can talk about the Chiefs. Obviously, they're going to be the champions. So how do you think they had a very interesting selection process where they've gone for about five or six midfielders, which says that they're going to maybe move Charlie Nartai back to fullback and obviously Damien into 10. It'll be an awkward changeover year, will it, for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I've got a few concerns about the Chiefs. I'm sorry, mate.
Okay, fine. I can just see, I'm only saying that because I can see the look in your eyes.
I just worry, I don't know if they've got enough size in the back line. That's my big concern. You know, they went after Julian Savia, Sida Tamanavalu, Waisaki Naholo, missed out on all three. So that says to me that they're missing a bit of power. But, you know, there is enough quality there. If you can keep Retallick, Sam Kane, Anton Leonard-Brown, I'm a big fan, very, very classy footballer. You know, there's enough quality there, but you've got a reasonably new halves combination and Weber and McKenzie and, yeah, potentially not enough size in the back line.
Yeah.
I do really like Nepo Laulala. He is quality. Nathan Harris is a fantastic hooker. So
strong forward pack.
Yeah, so if they don't get injuries, they'll be competitive, but we know that Super Rugby, you do get injuries, so it's going to be tough.
That's right. And it's with Triple T coming in at halfback for TKB, really, that's crucial because losing Curbalo is massive. I just think that is a huge difference for them. Just that experience. He's won two titles, all of that stuff.
Yeah, massive loss, TKB. I think by the end of the year, in my opinion anyway, he was easily number two. And interesting with Triple T, I think he's pretty highly rated. I know they took Mitchell Drummond off the Barbarians, but he could be next long-term cab off the rank.
Okay. All right, so the Hurricanes, how you feel about those Hurricanes, Mel?
I'm just looking at them now. Oh, I'm not meant to say that, am I?
No, that's fine.
Well, have you looked? They've got inexperience at the halfback with Finlay Christie and Jamie Booth in there backing up TJ Pettinata, so that is a little bit of a concern, right? And there are a lot of new players and people like Gareth Evans, Sam Henwood, Alex Fido, so once again, I think that they're rebuilding quite a bit, and that's not a lot of depth, really. Although they do have Asafo Amoa, and as a new squad member, that's a pretty good one to have in there.
Yeah, they just keep unearthing talent, which is a big concern for everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if they can get guys like Reggie Goodies back, I think they'll be right up there.
You're going with Goodies?
Yeah, like Goodies.
Is it Goodies or is it Goods?
I think it's Goods, yeah.
I think Goodies is fine.
Goodies,
I love
good.
The Goodies.
It's Goods.
The Goodies is a great show, goodies. By the way.
I remember that, yes. Yeah.
Goodies, goodie, goodie, yum, yum, yum.
Something like that. Yeah.
And then just weird, bizarre stuff. You're too young for the Goodies, I think. Maddie, who's producing the show right now, she's too young for the Goodies. But I think it's that old that'll be on YouTube. Someone would have just retro chucked it up there. Worth having a look
it's
at.
It's like Basil Brush, Boom Boom.
Oh.
Another one. Do you guys know that?
Comedic genius, yeah. Along with Kenny Everett as well. Yeah. If you're going to go deep in the archives, then
I'm making notes here.
Okay. I mean, they've got Bowden and Geordie. They're fine. Let's just be honest. We've talked about the Crusaders, the Highlanders. I actually think they possibly won the scramble for different players because I think Josh Mackay is incredible. I can't remember who else they picked up, but I do remember thinking, well-played Highlanders, as they always seem to, you know, they pick up the scraps really nicely, don't they?
Yeah, they've become one of the better or one of the best recruiting teams in Super Rugby, haven't they? That sort of patchwork quilt, you know, they embrace coming together and they have what Mel said, the Blues don't, you know, they live and breathe each other down there. But it's a big year for Aaron Major and the likes, you know, you've not only Jamie Joseph is gone, but Tony Brown, and he is an incredibly smart coach. And I think those two set the foundations for what the Highlanders have become. So, you know, it's Canterbury number two, really, isn't it, in terms of that coaching team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, and if you look at their backs, it's pretty much the same group that they've brought through over the last 5 years, and we know how competitive they've been the last 5 years. So they're going to be right up there, I'd say. Ben Smith, Waisaki, you've got your Richard Muckman still there. Matt Faddis has come along nicely. Rob Thompson was awesome. So Aaron Smith, it's a strong team. Lima, of course.
One of the most interesting recruits of the year, I think you probably need to come up with a song, is Ronan O'Gara to the Crusaders.
Oh, of course. Well, he's obviously, the other Ronan has got plenty, doesn't he? Life right. is a roller coaster, Ronan.
He's also, we sat with him at the World Rugby Awards, and I said to him, because do you remember Harry came out and said that women don't understand rugby? I said, oh, you know, when you come to the Crusaders, you have to coach the women's team as well. And he goes, what, like this? And he thought I was being serious. He goes, no, when I meant that, I was only talking about my wife. And she was sitting next to him.
Oh, I actually said something, I wrote something when I did player ratings, I think, on the Lions Tour of 2005. And I said that Ronan, when I was giving his player rating, my comment was that Ronan Keating would be a better defender.
Yeah.
And
ironically, he was the defence coach at Racing.
And now he's the defence coach. Because, I mean, you must remember him as well with the Lions in South Africa, where he also got ran over the top of after missing touch, I think. So it was like two mistakes in a row costing them the Lions series. Welcome to New Zealand, Ronan.
Oh, he's so funny. He's a good sort. My classic Ronan O'Gara moment was 2001, I think, when Ireland came here to play the All Blacks. And we went to the left field bar and I looked down and to see him and Brian O'Driscoll pash each other.
Really?
Yeah.
So were you on the mezzanine then?
Yes.
And you spotted them pashing each other?
They did it as a joke, but it was like 2001. That's pretty gutsy to do it back then.
That is actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got dared to $20 to pash my best mate back in university.
What did you do?
Oh, I couldn't do it, actually. I don't know why. I mean, I'll probably happily pash him now. It's been a while since I've had a decent pash. So, but the thing is, like, yeah, $20 I couldn't do it. I don't know. Something wrong with me.
Maybe if somebody threw in a crate and, you know, sweeten the deal a little
bit. That's what I would have needed, Those was it those Spates overalls and stuff?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I'd pash somebody after a crate. Anybody.
All right, now I shouldn't be promoting Spates because DB have been so good to Crowd Goes Wild and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They've been really good, actually.
What? How?
They've been excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
we got 100 dozen Spates this year for my rugby team. The Ponsonby 85 Hustlers won the comp.
Okay, fine.
Wow.
100 dozen, sorry.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, DB have come to the party big time for Crow Goes Wild Christmas do. I think we were looked after with a bit of Tui. The one guy in the office likes Tui.
Tui's good.
Oh, yeah. Villa Maria sponsors my wonderful group for women in sport media, so I think that's a little bit classy.
Okay, we're getting all the plugs in now.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone's had a plug. what we're going to do is briefly talk about, I guess, Mitre 10 Cup. We've kind of... All I want to say about the Mitre 10 Cup, now that we've had a little yarn about provincial rugby, is that there were some players I thought were worth noting, who I really enjoyed watching. Sevu Reese, because I'm from the Waikato, even though we got relegated. Lachlan McFannell is a big lock, also from the Waikato. He looks good. Big unit. I thought Josh Mackay, I've already mentioned him, and Will Jordan, the Tasman fullback, who obviously was an under-20 star, and the Almua team as well.
Braden Enor for me was amazing. I hadn't seen him before, so he just broke onto the scene. And I really liked Peter Gus Sowakula from Taranaki. Remember that big flanker?
Yeah.
And he was so quick. And he said to me, he's as fast as Waisaki.
That wouldn't surprise me. Mm. Impressive. Yeah. Unbelievable athlete.
Braden, another one, Auckland schooled.
Oh, yes, I read that about him. Yeah, he went down to university. They gave him a degree. They're giving him a scholarship.
Gave him a degree.
Yeah, well, you know, scholarship to do a degree. Canterbury Rugby Union.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Nice to see the Ranfurly Shield move too.
Yeah, it was actually. That was a great moment. One of the great comebacks, that game. And Taranaki is a province that really does care. I mean, the parade the next day, brilliant. And that city is built for a parade, by the way.
Yeah, pity they have an earthquake-proofed their stand. Don't get a Chiefs game next year.
Oh,
that is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly given they gave the Hurricanes the flick because they weren't getting enough games, and now you know, took a bit of a turn in their own backyard.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that is that's a real shame. Oh, they don't even support the Chiefs down there. I go into events in Taranaki and I go, any Chiefs fans? And they go, boo.
Yeah, they're very confused, aren't they?
The kids like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because they're handing out freebies and stuff like that when they come to town.
You're a bit out of luck when it's Barrett country, aren't you?
It is, it's Barrett country. Okay, now, just to wrap things up, because my car's going to get towed. Club rugby. I actually think that, you know, they need to do something to vitalise it, you know, revitalise it, sorry, is that because I did watch on Facebook Live the Auckland final, because my old club, University, won the Gallagher Shield for the first time in a while, and it actually was amazing that to see that. But then, you know, what are we doing for the rest of the season? Are people going? Do they care? It feels a bit lonely.
Well, I've got a different perspective because I am a coach at College Rifles. So I coach the under nines boys because my son plays in it. And we have hundreds of kids teams, and we've got those, you know, artificial fields. So our rugby's never cancelled. And we have mums and dads turning up Friday nights and Saturday mornings. So it's super healthy for youth rugby. Obviously, there's a massive drop-off when it comes to teenager, but from my perspective, I've been enjoying club rugby immensely. And the coaching setup they have is they come and make you do a course and you get taught, you know, tackling technique and ruck tackles, everything. And so your normal mum or dad who's coaching gets a really good start to help with the drills and stuff.
And the under-85s, you just don't know what you're doing, I guess. Have you had any coach come in to help you?
we had Steve Hansen read out our team.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Made fun of one of the guys' names, Lauren. He said, it was a girl's name.
Did you get him to read the team?
I didn't get him to do that. One of the boys, he was at a club, Waitakere out west, and he said, oh, do this. Yeah, no. But club rugby is an interesting one. It's got major challenges. I think the drink driving laws didn't help, you know, because you can only have one or two, and then you're sort of buggered. But I think Mel's right that junior rugby is the lifeblood of clubs now, and you're also finding that clubs are diversifying and making them into sports hubs. So trying to hold events there and attract other sports and do it that way. But yeah, it's not like it used to be, is it? When the All Blacks used to play, and you know, if you look at the progression now, it's generally schools to academies, and a lot of these guys actually don't play club rugby. So it's very rare that you find someone who doesn't follow that pathway and actually comes out of club rugby. So it's generally people who are doing it for the love of the game, and keeping those people involved when everyone has busy lives and so much going on, it's difficult.
That College Rifles model, and I know it's in Remuera, so it's quite a wealthy club.
And most hated, yep.
Is it? Oh,
I don't know.
But they have got squash courts, tennis court, a CrossFit gym, a normal gym. They are going to build a swimming pool there.
Okay.
Like, it is unbelievable. And then they've just done up the bar and stuff inside. So it's like awesome food, great wine from the tap. So your mum's going there and hang out.
Yeah, but
it's amazing.
You play on AstroTurf, it's just ridiculous. So
it's not great. Yeah.
Nobody looks forward to a game at College Rifles.
You end up grass burns for months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, AstroTurf. It's not. It just doesn't seem right.
Are you sure that that's not a carpet burn?
Well, do you know where your burns are coming from? Is what Mel's saying.
There's multiple avenues. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, look, just to round off as well, I just know that since you are from the Nua, Horowhenua Kapiti made the final of the, was it the Meads Cup?
Yep,
the top
division? It did indeed, lost to Nigel Yeldon's Whanganui, but yeah, pretty special year. Dane Coles actually went along and presented the jerseys to the team before the final, and he mentioned to me on tour that, you know, might have over aroused them a bit. You know, that's their favourite term, over aroused, not necessarily the best images, but
but over arousal can be an issue in a lot of sports.
That's right.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few that it doesn't really help anyway. Yeah.
Like, you got to rebound quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost the final, but a great year, and I've got a number of mates involved, and the prop. I think it's Scott Cameron off the top of my head. He won a Heartland Player of the Year. So, yeah, pretty special year for the Noor. And, yeah, great to see that comp still going well.
I guess my little thing that I'll pinpoint at the end of this is it was great to see Tasman field their first ever girls team in the Wharepama Cup. That was work done by Kendra Coxedge, who's been hired by the Crusaders to develop women's rugby in the area. So it was awesome. And they have got a number 10 who's 16 years old. Her name is Reese Pori Lane. She's already in the New Zealand Sevens development squad. Keep your eyes on that young thing. She's really? A judo champ. She's in that development squad, and she is one heck of an athlete.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I think that's – I mean, we've got other things that we could talk about, but I think we'll just be thrashing ourselves now. It's getting very hot in here. That is pretty much a good hour long – actually, no, we're going to have
it's
to
getting
edit
hot in here.
Yeah. So do what Mel did. Do what Mel did in Hong Kong.
Shake your get on booty.
Wait a second, remix.
He's singing, finally.
You could actually put those two. What, is it New Zealand that creates that DJ software? Is that right? I can't remember, but there's a classic DJ software that's gone worldwide.
Oh.
Is a New Zealand company.
Okay.
And I can't even name it.
That's a great story.
It's a great present, though, for Liam for Christmas. So you can mix those two songs. Yeah. Shake Your Booty with...
Or Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye.
And there it is, Liam Napier on lead vocals, melody there, and percussion. And it's me, it's it from me, James McConey. You've been listening to, what's it called? The Off-Season, Ka Kite Anō.